Fantastic to be here, guys. This feels really good.
Yes.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I love the feel in this room. I love the brightness. I love the clarity. And there's not an obstacle course to get to one another. It feels really good. Thank you, Jesus, for this place. Let it just be a fire, Lord God. Let it be a light. Let it be a beacon. And fill it with kids. Yes. Fill it with the children, Lord Jesus. Let them teach the adults. I have a friend in Nepal, when he became a Christian, they all laughed at him. He was the head of his village. They all laughed at him. You've met him, Helen. But they all laughed at him because he became a Christian at the head of their clan. But the only people that would listen to him were two or three kids. And from that, he planted over 30 churches. Started with two or three kids. If he hadn't just sat down and sung some songs with two or three kids, just like we sang earlier, your God is a great big God. If you hadn't done stuff like that with two or three kids, there wouldn't have been thousands of people added to the kingdom. We never despise the small beginnings, because in that small beginning is the seed for the kingdom to grow. And I just feel goosebumps just here as I feel there's a seed in this room. There's a seed that can grow, and who knows how big it can grow or how far its reach could be. But that depends on us. Will we take the opportunities to sing and to be with the little ones that will listen? You know, this mystery thing, God, the kingdom of God is a mystery, and I love mystery. It's hard to live with sometimes, and other times it's great. It stops me from thinking too much. Just embrace the mystery. The mystery of God. This week it was mysterious for me. You know, I'm a man of joy, generally. You know, the psalmist says, "You've anointed me with joy above my fellows." And sometimes I feel the same. I feel like, God, you just anointed me with joy. I dance a lot, and that's because I'm joyful. I've always been joyful. Even as a kid, before I knew Jesus, getting told off in a history lesson, coming back to my class, and because I was late getting back, so I won't surprise some. I was out studying, doing some maths in a separate class, came back, and I was late. The teacher telling me off in front of the class, and she said, "Take that stupid grin off your face," and smashed all my maths assignment out of my hands, because I still had joy in the midst of her telling me off, which is just crazy, because I was terrified, but my face was obviously still beaming. Crazy. You know, but in the midst of all the joy, you know, there is heartache. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We read that in Isaiah 53, and I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I wake up in the night and just feel I'm rubbish. Does that ever happen to anybody else? And you think about all the things you could have done and should have done. And it can get really depressing in those small hours, and you're trying to sleep, and actually all you can think about is how rubbish you are. And that happened to me this week. And I thought, I'm just a rubbish leader. I'm just doing everything wrong. You know, I should have done this, I should have done that, I should have done that. Yeah, I know I should have done that. Let me get to sleep. And I was just feeling really, really awful. And then I wake up in the morning. And I don't normally do this, but I switched my phone on. And there was a message that had arrived overnight. And it said, "You were right." I thought, I don't get one of those very often. I'm going to go, I'm going to read that. So I read it. And it was a message from Nepal, from my good friend in Nepal, someone who was my interpreter over there, because when we lived over there, I didn't speak Nepali. You can't speak much. Ali Ali. Ali Gati. But he used to translate for me. And he said, "Colin," he said, "just wanted to write to you and encourage you and say that you were right. You used to prophesy over us and pray over us that we were going to change the nation, me and my wife, Milan and Susma." And he said, "We used to think that, you know, Colin's just saying that's just nice words because he's our friend. He's just trying to encourage us." And I do like to encourage people. But I did see this over them prophetically, and I used to declare it. And he said to me, "Well, we've been talking and chatting, you know, because we're getting invited all over our nation these days to youth conferences, to pastors' conferences, to women's conferences, east, west, Kathmandu, all over the nation. We're getting called, and we're ministering." And he says, "And when we minister, the Holy Spirit is coming, just like it did when you live with us, just like he did when we ministered together. The Holy Spirit is coming with healings and with prophecies and tongues, and people, and there's joy coming." And he said to me, at the end of every message, Colin, I want you to know that I talk about love. And he said, people always accept it. Now, that won't mean much to you, but it made me cry. Because he is the man that when I went to Nepal and we were discussing what I would do, and I said to him, I really feel burdened to reveal the God who is love. That's all I do. That's all I do. I love God. He's revealed himself to me as the God who loves. And so I love to reveal him to other people as the God who is love. And he said to me, oh, that will never work in Nepal. They won't understand love. We have to drive them into the kingdom through fear. So to have him right at the end of that message. And now I always end our time together with love, talking about the God who loves. And they always accept it. And my Father in heaven knew just what I needed that morning to encourage me when I felt so rubbish about myself. And, you know, this life is tough, guys. But I haven't really got onto my talk yet, but this life is tough. And so never let the enemy discourage you or disqualify you because of the things you haven't done, the things you should have done, the things you could have done. Because our Father doesn't. Our Father doesn't. He says, today is a new day. This is the day of salvation. Today is the day I'm giving you. Let's walk in it again. Let's just do something great today. Let's not worry about tomorrow, yesterday or tomorrow. Let's live today. And so, yeah, amazing. Our God is just incredible. Absolutely amazing. Thank you, Jesus. So I've been asked to talk of the kingdom of God as a mystery. And I've been given a little passage to read. Mark chapter 4, if you've got your Bibles, you might want to turn them on. I still prefer the old-fashioned, antiquated parchment. Because I can write on it, highlight it. It kind of sticks in my memory a bit more. Mark chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 10. When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. He just told them the parable of the sower. We all know it. The farm went out to scatter seed and some fell on the path. Some fell on stony ground. It sprouted up quickly and then died off when the sun came out. Some fell amongst thorns and thistles. And as it grew, the weeds choked it so it didn't bear any fruit. But then some fell in good soil and actually it grew. And when it grew, it bore fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. And they asked him about this parable. He said, the kingdom of heaven's like this farmer with sowing seed. And Jesus said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Anybody perturbed by that? I'm glad you are. Why are you perturbed, Rachel? Because I was perturbed when I read that. Yeah, surely Christ would want them to turn and be healed, wouldn't he? Doesn't anybody else think that when they read that? That's horrible. It's just like, ooh, it's very unsettling. What's going on? So we've got to understand this passage. We've got to understand what Jesus is saying. First of all, the good news is that to us has been entrusted the mysteries. The secret things, the hidden things. Because a mystery really was something that was hidden. Often the pagan religions of the day, the Greek and Roman religions, would talk about the mystery. And only the initiates would be allowed to know the mystery behind the cult, the mystery behind the goddess or the god, the mystery that happened in the inner sanctums. It could mean a hidden or secret thing. It's not obvious. I've got a mystery here under this little blanket thing, this purple blanket. There's something hidden. It's a mystery. Ooh. I thought about coming draped over me, but that, I quickly decided against that. You know, there are good mysteries and there are bad mysteries. I hope you know that. So the problem is, you see, that thing seems all about faith. That little passage seems all about faith. To you, you've been given the mysteries, but to those who don't know, we hide it from them so that they can't turn and be healed. What? That's the wrong way around, surely. You know, God should be revealing himself to those that don't know so that they can turn and be healed. And for us, he can have a few games. He can hide stuff for us and we can find it. That seems to me would be the right thing. But Jesus is completely the other way around. So what's going on here? Well, firstly, it's a kind of encouragement from the book of Isaiah. Because those verses, they shall see and not perceive. They shall hear and not understand. We're from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, when Isaiah was called. In the year that King Isaiah died, it said he saw the Lord high and lifted up in the temple. He had this vision of God. And he heard God say, whom can I send? Who will go for me? And he thought, oh, I can't go. He thought, I'm rubbish. I'm just rubbish. I'm a man of unclean lips amongst a people of unclean lips. I can't do anything. And then a seraph took a burning coal from the altar and flew over to Isaiah and just touched his lips and said, you're clean. Be clean. Be cleaned. Be cleansed. And then he hears the voice again saying, who will go? Whom can I send? Who will go for me? And this time Isaiah boldly puts up his hand. Here I am, send me. And that's in the context of which he said those then words. Well, I'm going to send you to a stiff-necked people. You know, they'll be seeing and not, well, perceiving and hearing and not understanding. So there's something about the message that we carry, the mystery that we carry. We've got to expect that in a way. Just like Isaiah did. Isaiah wasn't a false prophet just because nobody listened to him. You see, God sent Isaiah to the people of Israel to turn them away from what the direction they were headed in. They were heading for destruction. And God didn't want them to suffer that destruction. So he sends them the prophet Isaiah with mysteries revealed. But they did not listen. In Jesus' day, he came with mysteries revealed. Because the Jews were heading for destruction. They were heading for a run-in with the Roman Empire, which was going to end disastrously. Unfortunately, a lot of them didn't listen. So AD 70 saw the Romans come in and sack Jerusalem because too many Jews were intent on defying Rome and having a battle. Said, we're going to fight for our rights and for our God. When actually that's not what God was saying. If God is saying it, then that's okay. But if God's not saying it, let's not do it. And Jesus came to warn them that that wasn't the way of the kingdom. Secondly, it reveals a mystery in itself. This little passage reveals a mystery. Because there is no doubt, I don't know about you guys, right? There is no doubt at all that God could do this. And everyone in the world would see. It's not beyond God to just pop out from behind the lamppost as we're walking the dog or as we're driving along, go, hi, I'm here! You know, float a bit, you know, cause a few rainbows to appear swirling around. You know, he could do stuff like that. And we would be left in no doubt that he was there. Couldn't he? Can you hear me at the back? He would, wouldn't he? He would. Thank you, Karen. He could do that. So why doesn't he do that? Why doesn't he do that? Yeah. At the same time, he could put his foot on the brake, you know. So, you know, he's quite clever. He must be a girl. He can multitask. But he could do that. He chooses not to do that because, as Chris says, there's something about us searching that he really values. There's something about us wanting him that is important to God. This is a mystery. This reveals something that was hidden, which is profound in the heart of God. God loves freedom. And if he was to come out and go, woohoo, hello, get this, let's get the oceans up in the sky, let's bring a few stars closer. You know, if he was to do crazy stuff, you know, we would be left in no doubt that he was God, he could do all of that. But actually, we'd be terrified. We'd actually be terrified. And we wouldn't be ourselves. I'm not myself around certain people, let alone God. A policeman only has to appear in my rearview mirror with his lights flashing. I think, oh my word, what have I done now? Better slow down. Keep calm. Even if I'm not speeding. You know. Thank you, Vicky. The thing is, the ultimate authority figure was just there. We would be completely locked up. We would not be free. And yet, so God wants us to be free. So he hides himself. And that's a good mystery. That's a helpful mystery. God says, I'm here, but I'm not going to be so here that I force myself upon you. I'm going to be here just enough. Maybe. That you might seek me. You see, there are unhelpful mysteries. Unhelpful mysteries. A helpful mystery is a Trinity. It's a fantastically helpful mystery. How can God be three in one? That used to cause me a lot of problems, but these days I just love the fact that God is more complex than I can possibly imagine. For me, that's a good thing. Not a bad thing, because actually that means he's much more bigger. Much more bigger? Much bigger than I can think or imagine. And that's great. And that's great. That encourages me now. I don't have to understand it. Anybody that thinks they have to understand all about God is a bit of a megalomaniac. Maybe they should be God. But unhelpful mysteries, you know, I can never get on with people that think that God's ordained everything. I can't understand that, because God holds us accountable for the things that we do. And if he's ordained it, then how can he hold us accountable because he ordained it? That is not, people say that's a mystery, brother. I'm saying that's nonsense. That's not a mystery. Because either he's responsible or I am. We can't both be for the choices that I make. So the first area of just to talk about a little bit is revelation. There's a mystery around revelation. God's desire is not to force himself on us, but to leave enough evidence around us to prompt us, to draw us, to maybe seek him, to search for him. So that he knows whether we really want him or not. That's the meaning of Romans 1:20. Remember Paul's talking, laying out his big gospel in the book of Romans, and it starts off by saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God for everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Yeah? And then he goes on and says, you know, the wrath of God's been revealed against all ungodliness, and against men and women who suppress the truth, who deliberately suppress the truth. He said, because actually, what can be known about God is revealed. It's around us. Just look at it doesn't say this, but it says, look at the stars. Look at the mountains. I love to look at the mountains. They're fantastic. They're awe-inspiring. Look at the sea. Look at life. Look at the newt and the tadpole. Come on. That's crazy. Look at the butterfly. That's weird. Look at electron microscopes. See, peer down to the atoms. That's just crazy too. It's weird. The whole thing is weird. Look at black holes. Weird. The whole thing shouts the glory of God. Wherever you look, whether you look at the big or whether you look at the tiny, it's gloriously beautiful. And our world is stunning. And there's enough in there to say, wow, something amazing has made this. And so he says, they've got no excuse. They deliberately suppress the truth, some of these people. But God hides things. And I love that. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, it says, it's the glory of God to hide something. One of the things that, you know, makes God glorious is the fact he hides things. It's the glory of God to hide something. It's the glory of kings to search it out. Well, we're the kings and queens. It's our glory to search stuff out. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Because you get a similar kind of thing here going on. And when God spoke to me through this a couple of years ago, and it just really moved me. I hope it might move you too. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and learned. There you go. God's hiding stuff again. He's always hiding stuff. And you've revealed them to babes. You're a babe. Did I just say that? No. Yeah. Babies. Let's just get it right. Little ones. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Father, sorry, knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Hold on a minute. You're getting that again, Rachel. I'm getting that little kind of gut wrench thing going on. What do you mean? No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And anybody I choose to reveal him to. I've got the power. I've got the mystery. It's all mine. And I can choose who I want to reveal it to. Yeah? I mean, you can read that and you think, ooh. When I used to read that, I used to think, ooh. I'm not sure I liked you, Jesus. I thought you were supposed to be for us. I thought you were supposed to be our friend. And here you are choosing who you're going to reveal him to. Of course, I was completely mistaken. I just didn't read it right. But, I guess I'm not the only one that hasn't read it right. Or am I? Am I just really that thick? Someone else help me out. Has anybody else ever read it like that? Okay, good. But then, you see, what happens? Read the verses that follow. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So who does Jesus choose to reveal the Father to? Sorry, I don't normally make you think on a Sunday, but I thought you should do this week. Weary and burdened, yep. Who else? Infants, yep. Babes. I love that. Who else? Ill people, well, yeah, okay. Who else? Oh, what made you say all people, John? All who are weary. Okay. Well, close. Anybody else got another idea? No? It starts off by saying, come to me. Come to me. Hang out with me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because rest comes, true rest comes, the only true rest comes, not from sleep, not from lying on a beach, but true rest comes from knowing the Father. Knowing that the creator of heaven and earth is your dad. Knowing that he knows all about you and loves you to bits. Knowing that he is for you. Knowing that he's watching over you. Knowing that actually he's working all things for good in you and around you. And all of a sudden it becomes glorious. You see, I choose to reveal the Father to everyone who comes to me. Oh my word, Jesus, that's amazing. I've chosen you. Would you choose me? That's always the way God operates. I want all men to be saved, he says. Every man, every woman, every child. And all those who come to me, I'm going to reveal the Father to them. They're going to be blown away. Because I'm going to reveal the mysteries of heaven to them, the mysteries of the kingdom to them. Wow. Oh, I'll get excited anyway. So, you know, if you are feeling weary and burdened today, honestly, the thing is just to come to the gentle one. He won't force his way into our lives, but if we come to him, if we bring our heaviness to him, he'll reveal something of the Father's love to us, which will bring us true rest, deep rest to our souls, and help us move forward. You know, and I love it. I love it, you know, because God's hidden stuff, okay, but then what does he say? When Jesus comes, he announces all the wonderful news, and he does his Sermon on the Mount thing. Yeah, it's a great sermon. Well done, Jesus. Good preach. And he ends it, and he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And I love that. I've hidden all this stuff around, all this good stuff, but, you know, just seek it. You will find it. It's not, you know, only those who've got 3 A's and their A levels are going to find it. Only those who've gone to Durham University, like my daughter, they will find it. Not only those who are good, who haven't sinned today, they'll find it. Not only those, you know, who are in the Jewish race, the special children of God, they'll find it. You know, just anybody who searches. That's good news, isn't it? God is committed to reveal stuff to anybody who comes to him. Anybody who looks, he will reveal himself. That's why I love to encourage non-Christians who say, I'd like to believe. I say, well, that's easy. Just search for him, because God will reveal himself to you. Never let anybody say, I wish I had your faith, but it's not for me. Take a peek. Have a look. There's a mystery for you to find. But you have to look, because God's not going to force his way in. That's beautiful. For me, that's absolutely stunningly beautiful. Not only that, but when we do start to get revelation, God says, I'm going to give you more and more and more. Honestly, the more you read this book, and the more you search and come to God, and the more revelation comes, and the greater and more glorious God looks, and the greater the peace that you receive, and the greater the joy that flows from that. It's just true. And you know, the study after study, survey after survey, have come up conclusively that reading the Bible is the most effective way of increasing our faith. There's no shortcuts, guys. Honestly, if you're feeling actually a bit distant, a bit far from God, you know, or struggling in your faith, read some scripture. Just take a few moments of every day. It doesn't have to be long, but do something to allow the Spirit to feed you from his word and reveal stuff to you, because that mysteriously increases our faith. And don't ask me how, because it's a mystery. If I knew how, I'd bottle it. I'd sell it. I'd have 60 million YouTube followers. You see, without embracing mystery, we're never going to live on this earth, because this earth is full of mystery. You know, one of the biggest reasons that thinking people discount the gospel, one of the reasons they give, one of their good reasons, there are lots of bad reasons they might give, but one of their good reasons they give is that, you know, if God is good and God loves everybody, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? And to be honest, that's a very good question, because there's too much pain and suffering in this world for there to be a good God controlling everything. They've just misunderstood. Either we've miscommunicated to them, or they've misunderstood. They need a revelation. That's not how love runs the universe. And in fact, you know, the answers are there. For anybody who wants to look, it's a mystery of suffering. The answers are there. They're all written in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 to 11 are all about why the world is in such a mess. Let's forget about how old the earth is, or how many years Adam lived, or Methuselah. You know, I don't really care. That is unimportant detail. But the spiritual truths communicated in those 11 chapters about why the world is like it is are amazing. Just to a few. You know, we learn from chapter 1 that God is unhappy about the darkness, and he's unhappy about heaven being separated from earth. Amazing. We know that God loves freedom. That's why there are two trees in the garden. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, tree of life. Choice. God loves to give choice. Even to man in his infancy, God gave a choice. He loves freedom. And that flows throughout scripture. Man chose independence. We chose to believe someone else, that God was holding out on us. We didn't trust God. We just chose, actually, I'm going to choose, I want to know what good and evil, I don't trust what you're telling me. I want to find out for myself. Well, how's that going for you? Man, it's not going too good, is it? So, but we chose independence. Pain and suffering increased. The world even was affected. It says cursed. So that the world is not, it groans now, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Some spirits we also learn are in rebellion. They're not helping, the snake, and then also the angels that come down and mess with us, you know. And so man was getting worse and worse and worse. God was still chasing us. And then eventually we even learn why there are nations and why we speak in different languages. All that is in the first 11 chapters of Genesis as the backdrop to God's rescue mission. So the whole thing is there. The mystery is revealed if we look. But unless we look, we never understand it. Unless we meditate and think about it, we never really get to grips with it. And so we wonder, is God really good? That flows into the mystery of healing, doesn't it? If we're honest with us, don't we all struggle with healing? Thank you. There's a true man at the back, a man who's honest. We all struggle with it. I still struggle with it, and I've seen hundreds of, well, I never counted, but it seems to be the hundreds of healings. So, you know, that, but I struggle with it. Why do I struggle with it? Why do you struggle with it, or don't you? Maybe you can. Because it doesn't always happen, thank you. Yes. It's a mystery. And sometimes I think it's an unhelpful mystery, but actually it is a helpful mystery. Why doesn't it always happen? Come on, guys. You can do this. Why doesn't it always happen? Sorry? Who knows? It's a mystery. Yeah, I want to unwrap that just a little bit. I want to take a peek under that wrapping paper. Because there's some stuff we can speak to that mystery. We can't unravel it all, but we can speak a little bit to it. What would happen, okay, if the world was ordered in such a way there was no pain? So that, for instance, if John stuck his hand in the fire, it didn't burn. But he could put a lump of chicken in there and it would crisp up nicely and he could eat his chicken dinner, no problem. It's the same thing. Or what would happen if I go to stab you, because I'm a thief, I'm going to stab you with a knife and it turns into a feather. What would you be worried? That would be weird. That would be weird. Wouldn't it be weird? What kind of world would that be? A weird world. Could you live in that world? Could you make sense of that world? What might happen to that world? I'm wondering now, you know, if this ground's going to be there in a minute, you know. That would be a crazy world. But also, what would happen if every time a Christian prayed for someone to be healed, they were healed? What would happen? We'd expect it. That's a good thing, isn't it? What would happen? Sorry? We would certainly wouldn't appreciate it so much. It wouldn't be something that we'd be maybe quite so hungry for. That's true. A lot of us aren't so hungry for it now even. Don't practice it enough anyway, even if we are hungry. But what is it? Why doesn't God do that? Come on, there's a really good answer. No, sorry. He doesn't like to keep us guessing. Well, at some people he wants to keep guessing. Maybe. He's quite good at birth control. Sorry, I'm having fun, Vicky. Yeah, what? Come on. What is it? Am I running out of time yet? Close. I better hurry up. Come on, guys. Help me out here. No. Just reveal the mystery. Well, you know, for me, okay, this is when I think about this, because I think about these things a lot, I just like to think, and I ask questions. It's good to ask questions. You know, if every single time Christians prayed for a sick person, they got better, Well, that's true. There would be no death. But also, what would other people think? They may be, yeah. But they'd be forced into knowing that actually Jesus is the Son of God. Because every time you pray in his name, someone gets healed. You pray in someone else's name, it doesn't happen. But you pray in the name of Jesus, actually, that God must exist, and he's telling us loud and clear that Jesus is the Son of God. It's the same thing with God. He's not going to barge into the world through that method. That's why Jesus did some crazy things, like saying, do you mind just leaving the room for a moment while I clear off? Just leave me alone. And then he would just pray for the dead girl, and she'd get up. There's something about doing things in secret that God loves. There were times that he did it out in the open. There were times when he healed everyone that came to him out in the field. But they came out into the wilderness to come and hear him. You know, we're not talking about switching on the telly set just to get to catch up with the latest, you know, blog or whatever of Jesus. We can do that these days. There's no cost to go and to listen to Bill Johnson, you know, or any of the great teachers. We can just switch on our iPods or our TVs and we've got it. But for them, they had to walk days. Sometimes when I go to Nepal, people walk 4 days to come and hear me. How many of you would do that? Four days! That's 4 days there and 4 days back. That's 8 days to come and hear me. That's a mystery. Honestly, guys, there's something about people seeking after Jesus. He was able to do all kinds. That's why he didn't do many healings in Nazareth. God was not going to force his way, barge his way into Nazareth. God won't barge his way into our lives. He waits to be invited. The truth is that the more I seek him, the more I put my trust and my faith in him, the more I believe in his goodness, the more that I accept what the Bible teaches about him always being for me and the fact that I should be able to do these things, the more I've seen. And I can't, that's a mystery. But it's a good mystery. It's not a bad mystery. It should encourage us that just because I didn't see it yesterday means that doesn't mean that I won't see it tomorrow. Let's not be defined by the past. Let's not be defined even by our parents or the older generation. You guys that are younger in this room, outrun us, please. But you will only do that if you're hungry, if you embrace the mystery and walk through the pain of the mystery. Please, outrun us, I beg you. Okay. Because this is what God is asking us to do, to be a people of faith. That's the gospel. You know, the gospel was announced to Abraham in the beginning, and I'm going to do a series on this in the new year, but that's the gospel. That once we put our trust in God, everything's going to be all right. But that trust is not something that we give easily, and it's not something that we give wholeheartedly in one go. Trust, in like most friendships, it grows over a period of time when you learn that the person is faithful. We learn by experience. But you know, when we put our trust in God through Christ, he's able to do incredible things for us. Incredible things. You see, the mystery, one of the things the Bible says about the mystery, this is the mystery that I want to reveal to you, Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery is that we look like jars of clay. Some of us don't look very attractive. You guys all look amazing, by the way. You look $1 million. You guys are the shiny gold varieties. When God was making jars of clay, you're the bee's knees. But some of us look a bit ordinary. The mystery is that there's treasure within us, the treasure of heaven that God has deposited in us. That treasure is in his very presence. But we have to get past the jar of clay to see it, to appreciate it. That's the mystery. just because we haven't seen it, just because we've struggled, don't let that disqualify us. But let's push in to the mystery. Let's embrace that, because knowing that God will reveal himself to all who ask, to all who seek. It's profound. Really profound. The kingdom of heaven is a mystery. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to rejoice in, because it's glorious, because it all speaks of God's freedom. What will we do with the freedom that God gives us? That's the question. And you know, John talked about that lump of coal in the prayer meeting beforehand. Said that on Friday night, the guy smelt charcoal, and he gave the word about from Isaiah chapter 6 with a seraph flying with a charcoal coal. So I just want to finish with that, because I really believe that God is saying this morning, who will go for me? Whom will I send with this mystery? Not as you've gone before, because you may have felt that it hasn't worked before. You may have felt a failure before. You may have felt brilliant. You may have felt, I'm still on a good journey, I'm learning, but I just want to go further. You may have felt disqualified. You may have felt, because of the pain and the disappointment, actually, that God's not with you. This morning, God wants to prove that he's with you. And there are angels ready to fly with lumps of coal in their hands this morning to those who respond, to touch your lips. Isaiah went from, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips amongst the people of unclean lips. I'm no different from anybody else. What have I got to bring to this generation? He went from that place to a place of saying, okay, God, here I am, send me. With this mystery. And they may not understand, they may not perceive, but I'm going to tell them, I'm going to proclaim the message loudly. And if that resonates with you, and I don't want everybody to stand, but if that resonates with you, if you felt that and you feel your heart burning with that and saying, yeah, I want to go again, I want to be sent again today, here I am, send me, then just stand where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless them. Bless these people, Lord Jesus. I want those that are nearby to gather around, because you're going to pray and minister to them. But just minister the coal. Not coal, the coal. Father, we're ministering that burning coal right now to the lips of those who stood. And Father, we just proclaim freedom over them. We break off the past today, Lord Jesus. We break off disappointment. We break off accusation. We break off sinful habits that have made us feel disqualified. We break off low self-esteem. We break off confusion. We break off the lies of the enemy. And we release truth. We release the mystery of the kingdom over these people that have stood. And we say that they are the hope of the world. That's what God speaks over you right now. You are the hope of the world, and God is with you. And he's sending you afresh today to the lost and to the hurting. And you will see mysteries. You will see blind eyes open. You will see the deaf hear. You will see the lame walk. You will see broken hearts mended. You will see the kingdom of God come. But it will be a mystery, and it will be messy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.